morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord in person and online. If you're watching online, the bulletin can be found on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link, or also on the email that gets sent out each Saturday if you receive that email. As we celebrate this beautiful morning, what, if anything, amazes you? Or have you become cynical and you're only 25 years old? We are surrounded by beauty, the wonders of God's creation, and also some of it, what humans have been able to do with what God has given us to work with while here on this earth. Such beauty and amazement, though, fades over time, doesn't it? But one thing that ought not lose its amazement, and that's because it doesn't fade away through the good and the not, is God's grace for you and for me. And what's even more is that we get to talk about His grace in our life. That's amazing too. Amazing grace. That's what we're here to celebrate this morning. Once again, God reveals it to us through word and song. So, dear friends, what are you going to do with this amazing grace in your life? That's our focus in this worship this morning. We continue our worship by hearing a song that serves as the theme song for our school year this year, Living Waters. The words are printed out on page 3.
These living waters.
And that's what we're here to do. We continue with the invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words of thanks and grace.
Open now thy gates of beauty.
Please stand.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Thank you.
us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter, reminding us that Jesus has always been the source of healing and hope and life. We hear these words. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. The word of the Lord. Have the same wonder and amazement when it comes to what can be done in the name of Jesus? A reading from Holy Scripture, Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made his salvation known.
And revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp.
With the harp and the sound of singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus provides further evidence that he indeed is the Messiah, the one who was promised, and people cannot help but keep talking about him. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be open. At this the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Dear friends, something is yours in great abundance, and that is God's grace and His mercy and His peace. And this is all possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to focus our attention back on the words of Acts chapter 3. We hear once again this: Peter looks straight at him. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. This is God's word, we pray. How shall the gospel be proclaimed if heralds are not sent? How shall the world find peace at last if we are negligent? So send us, Lord, for we rejoice to speak of Christ with life and voice. Amen. Dear redeemed by our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who amazes us with His goodness toward us and calls us to spread that amazement. Do you know that your faith in Jesus is based on a feeling? A good feeling that you have in your mind? If you didn't know that, good, because it's not true. And if you did think that, stop. Faith. The faith that we confess in Jesus as Lord and Savior is not rooted in feelings, but rather it is rooted in facts. Facts that have been recorded down through time by the Lord God Himself. Written down so that we can learn them and digest them and be equipped by them. Belief systems outside of Christianity, and sadly, even some within Christianity, are based on feelings. And also, or that work righteousness mentality, that mentality that says that we have to earn God's favor. Well, because of that natural desire to think it's based on a feeling or on our work righteousness or on something else, this is what makes God's grace in our life all the more amazing, because we recognize that it is not something that we can earn. And we come to realize that it's not based on our feelings, because our feelings cannot always be trusted. We have a powerful reminder of this once again in the words which serve as our sermon text from Acts chapter 3. As we review these words before us, keep in mind this. Stay amazed. Stay amazed, dear friend. And then in turn, give what you have. Stay amazed at God's grace in your own life. And dear friends, you and I need God's grace in our life. As a reminder of this, we hear these words from the book of Romans. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And that's even repeated in Romans again and also in other parts of Scripture. Not by observing the law. We can't earn it. Rather, through the law, summed up in the commandments, we become conscious of sin. Well, let's just get rid of the law, right? But where else is the law found outside of the written commandments? It's found in our heart. We don't have to tell any human being that murder is wrong. We don't have to tell human beings that stealing is wrong. We don't have to tell human beings that backbiting is wrong. We know that by nature. That law is written in our heart. And our conscience testifies to it. But God needed to give the law a second way because the natural law has become clouded by sin, our sin, and our conscience is not always reliable as we can ignore it, and dull it. So Romans goes on to say, for all have sinned, and who's included in that word all? Whether you like it or not, that's you and that's me, have sinned and fall short of the glory, the expectations of God. And then he goes on to say, the wages of sin, the consequence of sin, the evidence that it exists is death. And we cannot escape that because it's all around us. And we have to face it too, no matter how many vitamins we take. The wages of sin is death. We got a problem. We brought it on ourselves, thanks to our very first parents, and it just continues after that, as we were then conceived and born in their flesh, in their image. So how amazing is God's grace that He, a perfect, sinless, holy God, who did not create us to be sinful, but rather in His image, after we messed up, would come in His grace and His love and say, I got a gift for you. I know you can't earn it. I know you don't deserve it, but it's yours. So dear friends, stay amazed at God's grace in your life. That grace that is clearly revealed to us in Jesus Christ. How many of the songs that we have sung already this morning put the emphasis on Jesus and what He has done for us as promised? The Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That's what the prophet Isaiah was reminding the Old Testament believers of. The same Messiah that we have is the one that they had to look forward to. What He would do for them and has done for us and all people. He took our sins in thought, word, and deed upon Himself and sacrificed Himself in our place. That is grace, unconditional love shown to us. And God reveals that Savior Jesus in His means of grace. His tools to bring us to faith and to keep us in the faith. His means of grace simply are the gospel, the good news of a Savior, in the written word itself and also in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord gives Himself to us through these means. Amazing grace. And connected to those means, we are then connected to Jesus' perfect life in our place and His innocent death for us. His means of grace can be trusted, tested throughout time, and yet, as promised, the Word endures. It's reliable. It provides the answers to what is the problem going on in this world? Why is it all happening the way it is? Got the answer. And it's also got the solution. But it's not the solution everyone wants to hear. And so it gets chucked aside too often. But dear friends, you and I who have come to appreciate and know God's grace, stay amazed at it and help others see what God's grace has done for them, not just now while living, but also for all eternity. Announce to them, as Abel, that their sins are forgiven. Not by your power, not by their power, but in the name of Jesus. Clearly evident in our confession of sins and absolution that it's not by anything that we have done. It's not by the pastor's announcement, but in the name of Jesus. That the pastor, any one of us, can say to someone, your sins are forgiven. Talk about a message of healing and hope and life. How important it is then for us to stay connected to the means of grace, the tools God uses to not only bring us to faith, but to keep us in the faith. Important for us to soak it up like we're doing now. Take a fish out of water, What happens? Well, it flops for a little bit, right? Then it dies, and then it stinks. Take yourself out of the Word of God. Oh, you'll flop for a little bit. Then you die. Then you stink. You know what fire smells like, right? Especially flesh. It's not a good smell. God has provided what we need to avoid that stink. He graciously invites us time and time again to stay connected to Him, to meditate upon His Word day in and day out. So that not only are we refreshed by His grace for ourselves, we are in a position to take that grace to the world. Keep in mind what the early believers did, as recorded in the book of Acts. Those early Christians, they saw the importance of staying connected. They gathered together regularly like we do. And they gathered not just to quench, but to hear the Word of God and to partake of the sacrament. And they prayed together. There was boldness in the air. There was healing and hope in the air as well. And it's following one of those gatherings in the book of Acts that we are told about Peter and John going to the temple courts one day to pray, at one of the scheduled times at that time to pray. And with them, they had a message of healing and hope, thanks to God's grace in their life. Following that Pentecost event, when the Holy Spirit, as promised, reinvigorated those disciples by having all the dots connect, everything that Jesus was teaching them, boom, wow, it all makes sense by the grace of God. And so they were emboldened and ready to witness. And one of those people they witnessed to is the man we hear about, who needed healing in his life. And not just this man, but the whole world needs healing in one way or another. But this man in particular, he had been born not able to walk. And so people, in order to help him out, would put him before the temple gates so that he could receive money from those who were going to the temple and thus sustain a living that way. Peter and John, going to the temple one day, notice this man. This man calls out to them, hoping to get a few shekels from them. Peter and John go, nothing in our tunics, but we got something even better. It's not just going to buy you a cheeseburger. It's going to buy you a banquet for the rest of your life and into eternity. That man needed that hope and that healing, just as much as you and I do, just as much as the rest of the world does. Evidence that the world is in a world of hurt is all around us. People falling short of the expectations of God. People doing their own thing, hurting people at whim or planned, and not even caring that they're breaking the law or that they're hurting people. Galatians 5 reminds us of the fact that our world is hurting in this way. For the sinful nature that we all have desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. And the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Let's see how many of these you see going on. Sexual immorality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. That's hatred stirred up. Fits of rage. You ever drive on 80? Selfish ambition, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. None of that is going on, right? Every day the world is in a world of hurt and needs what Jesus has to offer. It's kind of like going to the beach. And you see signs posted, sharks in the water, stay out. I'm going for a swim. Shark bites you. How come no one told me? How many people do you know are like that? The signs are all there. but they ignore him. And then they turn around and go, God, how come you didn't tell me? Disasters are taking place all around the world and close to home. Nothing new. Year after year, month after month, day after day, there's some disaster taking place. Evidence that this world that we live in is temporary, that our world is in a world of hurt and need of healing. Well, who can provide that healing? Jesus, of course, but who else? You, who have been amazed and are continually amazed at God's grace in your own life. He has called you to be the salt and the light in this world, to bring healing and hope and life to this world, to remind people that don't just look at the temporary, but look beyond. And we can get through the temporary because of what we have beyond. God didn't promise that this life was going to be easy. He said, we're going to go through many trials and tribulations because of sin in the world, sin in general, and the sin that we cause. It comes with consequences. But again, there's healing, and there's hope, and there's life. That those consequences don't have to get the final word. They don't have to get the best of us. Jesus can and does. So be salt and light to the world. Be empathetic. Take the time to listen. It's heart-wrenching to lose a home or a pet or whatever. To see the disasters taking place in the world. Be that listening ear. And then as Abel, offer the healing and the hope message that you have working for you. Invite them to learn more about the healing and the hope message that you have. Invite them to worship. Maybe they don't get all the customs the first time. That's okay. The Holy Spirit can work through that. Invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to your home to have a discussion. No pressure. Remind them, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, that we're pressing on toward a goal. We're not there yet, but we're pressing on. And all the disasters and all the evidence of sin in this world reminds us that we need to keep on pressing because this is not where we want to stop. And thankfully, we don't have to because of God's amazing grace in our life. Again, it doesn't mean that sickness or disasters are going to go away. But we know why they happen, and we have a way to work through them. Now, if people come to believe in God's amazing grace as you do, praise God for that. If they don't, if they refuse and reject it, we'll continue to pray for that person and continue to invite others to hear about God's amazing grace for them and a message of healing and hope and life that He has for them. Keeping in mind that their faith, their connection to God is not dependent on you. We are simply to plant the seeds of the gospel. And as for you, continually stay amazed by staying connected to God's grace in your life through His Word. The evidence of God's presence is all around us, the beauty of creation, and more importantly, through His means of grace. So stay connected. And keep giving what you have by way of your prayer, by way of your thank offerings, by way of your witness, by way of your acts of compassion, and so much more. Give what you have been given. You have a message of healing and hope and life. Amazing, isn't it? Stay amazed. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our amazing Savior. Amen. We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed as they begin on the bottom of page 8. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus.
Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you give us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perals may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth, where there are wars, may there be peace, where there is hatred, let it be healed, where there is poverty,
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Lord, be with the Mark and Sandy Ross family as they mourn the passing of Sandy's uncle James. While we know death could come at any time for us, young or old, it still hurts when it happens. So thank you for the peace and the hope you alone have to offer Mark and Sandy and their family as they hurt. Bless the words they speak in testimony of your grace and hope which sustains us through this life. Lord, you woke up our nation 20 years ago when an unforgettable disaster struck our country. Lives were impacted, souls were lost, souls were taken to heaven, souls were left stunned, souls sought answers and comfort from the only source that can truly provide what we need, and that is you, as you speak to us through your word. Wake-up calls happen every day, and sadly many do not take heed, but carry on like nothing happened. Move us who know what such means to speak up in love and in boldness, as countless people are at risk, including some who are connected to our church. Have mercy on our nation, for what we have going for us is only because of your grace as our nation turns further away from you. Continue to keep your hope and healing and grace before us. And may those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couples celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever ways you please ourselves. Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Just to highlight a few announcements, just as a reminder, further reflections based on the scripture readings for today can be found on page 12. If you want to take those home and digest them in the week or use them in a small group study, you're free to do what you want with those. Bible study for all ages takes place. For adults, we're looking at lifestyle witnessing here in the church. Teens will be looking at Christians in conflict in the upper room, and Sunday school will be going through their lessons. Sunday school begins in the chapel at 9:15. We have our Connect 2030 event taking place today at 4 o'clock. Keep that in mind. If you want more details, see the weekly news. Norm Larson's memorial service. It's been a while since he passed, but the family has scheduled the memorial service for next Sunday, the 19th, at 12:30. So keep that in mind. We have a Truth and Love presentation to go along with our Outreach Month and Lifestyle Witnessing course. It's a three-hour opportunity presentation on the 24th. It's a Saturday. Truth and Love is presenting this. Let's build bridges, not barriers. Opportunity, if you can't make the whole 3 hours, that's okay. But you do need the RSVP, see the weekly news, how to do so. We're starting a new Bible formation course entitled Starting Point. You can pick up brochures on that in the entryway. You can also find information in the weekly news about that. We're starting on October 2nd. It's a Saturday morning. And then again, just look at the weekly news for other things that are going on. Just a reminder, our FYI update, food pantry. We delivered the food to the Orangevale Fair Oaks Food Bank this time. They were very appreciative. We were able to fill a good cart, so thank you for your donations. You know, they said they probably touch 40 to 50 families a day, and more so of the older age than the younger age. So just, again, thank you for your generous donations. At this time, we'll get connected with the work we support as a church body as we watch the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Just a few weeks ago, delegates from Wells churches all across the country met for our Synod Convention, an event that's held every other year to celebrate our blessings and plan for the future.
I hereby, in the name of our Triune God, call to order the 66th Biennial Convention of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod to order.
My name is Mitch Capel. I'm a lay delegate here at the convention from St. Paul's Church in Amherst, New Hampshire, and this is my first convention. I think it's definitely an exciting thing to be a part of this process, to have a hand in the future work of our synod as we go along. I have great confidence and enthusiasm in the future of our synod and all the great work that everybody here is doing and everybody has a part in.
If this year's convention looks a bit different, that's because in addition to the 100 in-person delegates, more than 200 delegates attended virtually via Zoom. But the process remained the same, with elections, presentations, and planning sessions for the next two-year period and beyond. Highlights included a proposal by Home Missions to establish 100 new mission starts in 10 years, beginning in 2023. It's a bold plan that reflects growing new opportunities for outreach in North America, as we see more and more people who desperately need the gospel.
There's just a natural desire as you see people sort of drowning in the sea of all the ideas that are present in our world to say, I know something that anchors me in all of that, and I want other people to have that too.
So you might say, well,
World Missions reported that while COVID temporarily slowed our work in Vietnam, our online mission work grew considerably as we developed innovative new ways to train workers around the world, nurturing new Christian communities in distant lands.
It also is a way that we can reach out with the gospel into places where we simply cannot send missionaries.
MLC has a single
Ministerial education highlighted the rapidly increasing need for trained workers in public ministry, and how Martin Luther College is meeting that need through a major campaign to upgrade campus facilities.
We simply must provide a campus that speaks to the prospective students of the 21st century.
Right now, we have opened up the Service Builder software.
The Wells Commission on Worship offered a presentation on the new hymnal, noting that preliminary copies will reach churches this month. Congregational Services detailed the launch of new ministry resources for congregations, with practical applications for evangelism, discipleship, stewardship, even family devotions.
The past 2 years have been some of the most challenging that many of us have ever faced, but it's also been a year of unforeseen and undeserved blessings. We're reminded that no matter what the outward circumstances, God works to build His church. As situations change, new opportunities arise, and together we can react to our changing world by reaching out with the one thing that doesn't change, the gospel message.